So now, again, officially welcome to our blessing on this nice, warm June day, the 9th. And I hope that life is well for you and that you're finding happiness within it, regardless of the condition you're in. We're going to talk some about the relationship between happiness and authenticity today. I think it's a very important subject concerning the way God gives blessings and the way we receive them and utilize them. But before we get started on our message, and especially while we're waiting for many people to sign in, this would be a good time, if any of you want to ask for a blessing or comment on how your blessings are going for you, just remember to press *6 and then follow the prompt and press 1. That takes you right into my Q&A board, and I can put you on the line. So we've got Jackie. Hi, Jackie. Welcome. You're on.
Hi.
You may have,
hi, Brenda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Awesome. So last night it was about 2:30 in the morning, and I got this like urge, and I've felt this before where I would feel the presence of Yeshua wanting to give me messages. But in the past, I've been too tired to get up and actually go write it down. But last night it was funny because I was in bed and I kept getting this like, I just couldn't go back to sleep unless I got up and went to write this message down. Of course, I went to the bathroom and I have just this nightlight on and I'm sitting on the floor and I'm like trying to scribble as much as whatever I could come, you know, that was coming from this message. And I just, can I just read it really quick to you?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so it starts out, and it's kind of funny because sometimes it feels like it's being written in riddles. But let me see if this makes sense to you. So it says, the night sky brings in its wings the miracles of rebirth. There is a place down by the sunset where men fight to survive. In this place, there is a hidden treasure that sparkles with majestic light and the awakening of a new dawn. Men's souls weep at the sight of such light. They cannot contain their surprise and their tears. It is in the dawn of God's love that miracles abound. Where is the glory of love? Where is the eternal renaissance of the day's intense labor of love? Many have left their homes to seek out this treasure, but very few have returned with the treasure at hand. You are at this place where the soul weeps and the heart rejoices. There is your time. In the ship of life, you steer the heart and the pathway to the treasures lost in the profound experience of living this eternal life. We tell you now, sister, that this treasure with immense power has the ability to command the oceans, the trees, the planets, the sun, and the moon. This is the treasure of your life. This is the day you have been searching your whole life. You are the crux between eternity and the human life. Make this be known throughout the constellations that the day has arrived for the eternal flowering of the human potentiality. This is indeed a time for celebration and contemplation of the eternal now. What will you choose? What will you do? Who will you be? We await your answer. We await your choice with you. It is given in this message the key to unlock the mysteries of your life. Read it with eyes of wonder and innocent perception, which I thought was kind of cute. And all will be revealed. We love you, we love you, we love you. And I thought of you because it said innocent perception.
That was beautiful, Jackie. And I'm so glad you took the time to write that down and share it with us today. It's just poetry. It's inspiring, it's poetic, it's a beautiful piece of literature. So be sure and keep that. And share it with as many people as you feel drawn to do, because I think it's so relevant for where many people are today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful way of invoking and calling us into assembly today, because so many people are exactly seeking that rebirth of the inner light and in it to experience their reunion with God.
Yeah.
Thank you again,
Jack. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. And we have three other callers. I'm going to take them in order of how they showed up on the board. We have someone from area code 607, and you're on.
Hello, Glenda. This is Drew from Ithaca, New York.
Yeah, well,
hi, Drew.
Hi. I'm so glad that I have a moment to ask you about the Blessing Givers course that you had perhaps talked about coming to the East Coast to give.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you have any more information about that, please.
Well, pardon me. I may have a drink of water. Drew, I'm sure it will happen. But
okay.
I have had a change of agenda for 2013 that is probably going to cancel out any opportunity of a Blessing Giver course until the spring of 2014, at which time we have lost our lease here, and we've got a little less than 6 months to move, and that's going to be a really big chore. I have a major art exhibit in my hometown in Texas where I want to relocate all of my paintings before the move, and that opens the 1st of September. And on June 21st, I'm having my second hip replacement. So that's pretty much going to take care of 2013. And
yes.
I really apologize that we couldn't move forward, but by doing this, by becoming relocated in a new place, it will give new opportunities for places to hold our Blessing seminars, including the East Coast. And yeah, so we are definitely not finished with expanding on our Blessing Givers course. These are just interruptions. And personally, I'm glad the whole package is coming at once, because I'd rather just deal with everything at once in a six-month time as to drag it out over two or three years.
Yes, I don't blame you.
And so we'll get it done, we'll be relocated, and then we will be, back in fifth gear again.
Well, you know, in some ways, that's not so bad for me, because I really have to save my pennies in order to be able to participate, and it gives me a little longer time to do my saving.
Okay, well, be sure and do that, because there will be another Blessing course. And almost certainly, it will be points eastward from here. Whether it's all the way to the East Coast or not, I don't know. But we will do one. Actually, we're going to move back into high gear once all of these various challenges are accomplished. So
we will meet in person then, and then that's a guarantee.
You bet.
Thank you so much, Glenda.
You're welcome. And I'm going to take a call from Desmond. Hi, Desmond. How are you?
Good, Glenda. I had a beautiful experience with the Blessing Givers. We were on the jam session. I was talking with Martha. And Tammy and Chris, and they did a blessing for me.
Wonderful.
It just totally changed. I haven't had received a blessing directly from anyone in quite a while, and it energized me, and I could see Christ's light, and I could my abilities enhanced. I was able to talk with Christ and Anastasia and receive help from all the saints, and I just felt so much love, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, Desmond, and that gives me an opportunity to thank the Blessing Givers for all the work they're doing. I see the call reports come in every day. Two, three, four, or more have been on the Blessing call, some conference call offering blessings every day. Every day, and I know that it's making a difference in the world and in the lives of people who ask for blessings and seek them. And so thank you all for the great work you're doing. And I just look forward to expanding our group even more. We want to have 1,000 Blessing Givers real soon. and we're already around the world, but we want to circle the world several times because this is the coming of Christ's light. And it's one of the most important things we can do, just to offer the light within to shine into the lives of others. And let's see, we have three more callers, and then I will say what I wanted to say for inspiration. So we're going to open up the line on area code 607. You're on. Hi. Hello. You may have to unmute your own telephone. We can't hear you. Okay, well, while they're trying to do that, I'm going to open up the line for Jean Marie 620. Hi.
Hi, Linda. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I haven't chimed in for a while, but I have a friend visiting me, and today's her birthday.
Excellent. Happy birthday.
I would like to ask a special blessing for her and her son visiting from Colorado.
Well, you certainly have it. What's her name?
Her name's Rhonda and Kalen.
Hey, Rhonda. And her son?
Kalen.
It's very nice to have you on the call. And
hello.
Hi. Hi. And we look forward to offering our blessings to you for the very best life you can have.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. And we have a caller now from area code 321. And you're on.
Hi, Glenda Green.
Hello.
Say, what makes me happiest? Is when I get to learn from teachers and masters, like I've even heard you quote many in the book, you know, such as Rumi and Gibran, and you know, also like Chopra, Dyer, Tolle, Yogananda, Glenda Green, of course. And you know, there's lots of heritages I love studying from: Sufis, Rishis, Kabbalists, even the incarnate teachers like Abraham and White Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what I'm curious about is I've heard that at some point we'll want to sort of pare down and have one specific teacher that we're most intimate with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to progress further on the path. Mm-hmm. But there's like a little conflict in me. It feels like I don't want to give up any of this incredible treasure that I get from everywhere. You know, sometimes I feel like a little bit sneaky, like when I go off and learn from another teacher, you know, like I've dined at another table or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I wondered if you could offer any encouragement on my little conundrum.
Oh, well, I certainly can. And actually, you have just offered me a perfect transition into the message I had planned for today. So I'm just going to go ahead and end off our blessing Q&A and get into the message, because I think you're going to find it answers exactly what you've been looking for in your progress of spiritual realization. Now, the topic is really about personal authenticity and blessing. It could also be about personal authenticity and fulfillment, or attainment, or realization. There's a certain point at which we have to commit ourselves to that which is really, really us, who we are personally, the love that we are, the wisdom that we are, the blueprint of God within the seed of our life. We have to find, I would say, the first leg of our journey in self-discovery and taking on our life is actually quite eclectic. Just think about, as a child, how many things you did. And as long as it was fun and satisfying and directed your spirit of curiosity and play and investigation, everything was okay. And then you got into your teenage years, and you didn't want to just have a boring life. You wanted to have a lot of experiences in life. You wanted to find out who you were by tasting a very varied and rich salad bar of life. And that would continue on into your 20s until finally narrowed down the possibilities of how you'd like to spend your life with a career, perhaps a life partner, perhaps a location in which to live, your most favorite activities, and so forth. Then we get into our spiritual work, and we start the process all over again. The first part of it is like we were as a child. We just want to see, feel, and touch everything, because the first step of our spiritual progress is all about perception. It's just expanding our perceptual ability. And then we move to the next stage of eclecticism, where we examine all the different pathways, like being on a very rich salad bar of life. And finally, we get to a point where we can't go any further. It's kind of like Job had everything, including a very rich and fulfilled spiritual life in relation to the scriptures and the synagogue and his formal religious practices. He was a man of God. He was a rich man. He had a very successful business and a satisfying family life and children. What more could he want? But there was something missing. Well, the next era of his life would be God challenging him to find that thing that was missing, which is so hard for us to admit, especially in a world where there are so many things and experiences available to us. That thing is authenticity. That inner blueprint of your creation in the image of God, the love that you are, who you really are. Coming to accept and own that is really the next step in our spiritual growth or our personal growth, oftentimes in our health. Now, let me roll back to some anecdotal examples before I get to the big punchline, because I don't want to just plunge you into the high ethers without giving you a pathway. So let me give you some varied examples. One could be something all the ladies will relate to, and vicariously and perhaps even directly, you guys will relate to as well. You buy a dress for perhaps a wedding or an event or maybe a business meeting. And you buy something you like, and you wear it, and it was a successful presentation of yourself. You put it in your closet, and then 6 months later, you haven't worn it again. In fact, you look at it and you think, where will I ever wear that? That's not me. I just got that for an occasion. And then you're given really basically two choices. Either you could give it to a friend, a sister, or Goodwill, or maybe a consignment store and sell it. Or you can build into it with maybe a new blouse that's a little more like you and say, okay, I'll get this blouse. And then I'll get some colorful shoes and a handbag. That'll make it perfectly me. And you do that. You wear that a couple of times, and then you say, but it's still not me. So you go through that routine again, and it's still not me. And finally, you just decide, you know, it's not worth investing in something that's not me. I'm going to sell it or give it away or whatever. And I'm going to clean it out of my closet because, yes, I spent a lot of money on it, and I don't like wasting the money, but it's a bigger waste of my consciousness and my perception to open my closet doors and always see that hanging there, not knowing what to do with it. Okay, I guarantee you, every lady in this call has had that experience. If you have a wife, you know why she goes into a closet full of clothes and says, but honey, I've got absolutely nothing to wear. And you scratch your head and you say, holy cow, what am I going to have to do? Take out a second mortgage to get my lovely wardrobe that she likes? And you fortunately walk away and don't indulge that reaction because you know better. You know there's something else wrong. It's not the clothes. It's her relationship to the clothes. That's all that's off. Now, you guys, you've bought toys. Maybe some of you bought a boat, and it was the happiest day of your life. You used it and used it and used it, and then it sat there in the driveway for a couple of years. And then the happiest day of your life was the day you sold the boat and got some money out of it. And after you sold it, you say, you know, I really liked it, but it wasn't me. So, now, that's what I mean by authenticity. Now, in so many of the spiritual teachings through the ages, we've been told to give everything away, including our attachment to money, our attachment to friends and family and careers, and anything, any reality that we had well depended on to define our life. Just give it away and walk away from it. And, of course, that's a frightening thing. And most people will not do it. And personally, I don't think it's necessary if you really understand what I'm about to tell you. And it's actually the core lesson that's coming up today in our creation seminar. So those who are in that webinar can look forward to a great acceleration of this. But I'm going to give the punchline to everybody. Okay? Now, Job is a perfect example of someone who went all the way. And he went all the way, not altogether by choice, but by a wager between God and the dark forces, that somewhere, somehow, Job, the religious man, could find God directly, could find the godly man that he was, and become the truly spiritual man that he was. So he was stripped of everything. He went down to nothing, lost his family, lost his health, lost his money, lost his connection to the synagogue, except he would go and pray and his prayers would do nothing. His prayers were hollow. Nothing would happen until he let go of everything. And after he let go of everything, there he was. And in the nothingness of his life, he looked at the heavens. He looked inside himself. And he discovered that, but if I have God, I have everything. That's all I need. I don't need the rest. I have God. And at that moment, I'd shorten the story, you know. Go read the book. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of literature in the entire Bible. And I really telescoped it. I got it down to the, you know, the Reader's Digest version in 21st century language. But basically, the punchline is when he realized that God is all he needed and it was his essential connection, everything else was restored. So the point is, it's not the things we have in our life or the many teachers we have that are getting in the way. It's only the way we use them for blocking or filtering our authentic connection to God. Just like you ladies or you gentlemen with your toys and life enjoyments, you get to the point where you just don't want to invest anymore in what isn't you. Well, God gets to the same point with us. When we're young, God invests almost everything in us and indulges our many ways. Our many ways because, above all else, He knows that exploration will expand the parameters of our life. If you've ever said the sky is the limit, then you don't know God. There is no limit. And there is no limit to the opportunities God will provide for us for discovery. But there comes a point where discovery outside ourselves is no longer the answer. And we are asked to find that perfect expression of life, that perfect wardrobe. And actually, wardrobe's not a bad analogy, because all the identities we wear, all of the experiences we take onto ourselves, and the colorings and the filters we give to our life, it's like a wardrobe. You know, we'll put on this for a while, then we'll put on that. The question, and there's nothing wrong with that. The question is it the perfect wardrobe? Is it something that when you open the closet door, you can say, yes, that's me. That's my perfect path. And it's not, you know, to get back to your question, last question, it's not that any of your teachers will be less than the others in terms of their value to building your life. But somewhere along the line, there will be one, two, or three that will help you define and refine and focus your perfect pathway toward your authentic connection with God and with Spirit, where in the end you can say, yes, God is all I need. This is all there really, really ever was. And you're probably at that point in your life where you're about to turn the corner. Many of you have already turned the corner and didn't know what was happening. So if you turn the corner and all of your eclecticism is just becoming a burden, then understand why. If all the extra clothes in your closet are just boring to you, give them away or have a garage sale. Put them in a consignment store or give them to Goodwill. Oh, my gosh, there's so many things you can do to simplify your life. Simplify, simplify. And as you do, you actually empower. There is a point in life where that becomes the power. Simplicity becomes the power. And that wasn't true when you were young. Expansion and diversification were the power. And sometimes we instinctively discover that on our own. Sometimes events in our life begin to bring it upon us, the necessity to simplify. But we don't know how to respond to it. So now, how does that relate to our receiving of the blessing? Well, very, very importantly, and that is, so often in our prayers, we are praying for God to help us fix an old wardrobe or to like an old boat we don't use anymore. We're asking God to fix a business we hate. We're asking God to help us renovate a house we're so tired of, we hardly mind that the plumbing's breaking down. And that isn't a prayer God wants to hear. God wants to hear a prayer from you. God wants his son and daughter to open their hearts and say, God, thrill me again. God, make me new. God, light my fire as I've never known it before. Heal me in the perfect way you know me to be. And so the blessings of God will come into you in that way. Sometimes they can be a little bit unsettling because they do things to make you dislike more the things you've already been tending to dislike. You may become more uncomfortable with your job instead of having it fixed, because there is no fixing of a wrong job. You may become more uncomfortable in your body because something has to be fixed first in order to get you back into the full swing of being the healthy person you are. You may have to be brought to a critical realization that hamburgers and Cokes every day are hurting your body, because just a little cut down on that's not going to do the job. You need a whole new diet protocol. And so sometimes the blessings of God come in strange ways, but I guarantee you God is always directing his blessing toward the child he created that may be covered up with the distractions of life right now, but is always there waiting to be brought back into the light of day, into the light of full and complete redemption. And this is all redemption is. It's just turning around from all the distractions we've made in life. And even the mistakes we call sins were just part of our lost condition. We followed the distraction too far. We overindulged in something that was off the path, a wrong action. And then we couldn't let go of it. We had to be right. So we covered up with more wrong actions in a desperate attempt to be right. Well, there is no way to make a wrong action right. And Yeshua taught us that, not to judge us, not to condemn us, but to bring us home. The parable of the prodigal son is a perfect example of that. The father was so glad to see his son. He over-celebrated his son returning from the lost pathway even more than his son who never left home. There is no judgment in this, but there is a mandatory realization that at some point, without making any of the rich diversions of your life wrong, for they were all part of your life experience, without doing that, you have to come home. And so I would say that the most beautiful aspect of Christ's blessing is that it's an invitation, at least for a moment, to come home. And every time we come home, we strengthen the blueprint of our essential self. We strengthen the core personality from which everything else was created. And in that, everything has a better chance of becoming whole and lighted, fulfilled, ennobled, and happy. And so when I invite you now to be in your heart, let that be in the authentic place of your being. And sometimes we don't know what that is. So it may require a silent surrender into a place you can't define, you can't even describe, but you feel home when you go there. And that's enough. That's enough. In that place, pray as you would pray to your Father. Pray as you would pray to the one who created you, to just be in a perfect union. You can list all your problems if you like. You can recite all your desires if you like. That's fine. Pray however you feel drawn to connect with God. But remember, God already knows your desires and your needs. The most important thing you can do is build the strength of your connection with God. And in the 3 minutes you do that, we will be conducting a flow of energy from the Holy Spirit to accelerate your prayer and to light the fire of your being. That's really what it's all about. So be seated, have your shoes and socks off, feet on the ground, feet on the, just directly to the earth, because you're drawing energy up from the earth. You'll be drawing energy from the heavens through your head. It'll flow from your head through your body, probably circling around your heart area, then on out into the ground, back from the ground, up through your heart again, and out your head. Don't put any thought on what is happening, because the simplicity of it is, you are being anointed with Spirit and called to be who you are. You're being given a little taste of going home. And in that taste, in that moment, you are made whole. You're made more perfectly who you are. So let us begin. I will give an invocation to Yeshua. Call forth our blessing givers to join me. And we will begin. You begin your prayer in any manner that feels right to you. If you want to be loud, that's okay. No one else can hear you. So I ask for the presence of our beloved Yeshua, that he be with us in truth, in faith, in love, knowing us as we really are, loving and accepting us, and also realizing that all the many layers of our experience and personality are just there for personal enrichment. But who we are, really, in the sight of God, is all that matters. Be with the Christ within, who knows the Christ within you. Be led in this blessing to be lighted and filled with the Holy Spirit. And know that the Holy Spirit is with you always. Yeshua, thank you for allowing us to know these things and to be in a state of union where all things are possible through you. Amen. the energetic conveyance of your blessing is complete. Now the next step is for you to go and rest. Lie down completely for 7 minutes and allow all the spirit and energy and love of this blessing to fill you, body, heart, and soul. Know that you have been blessed and that you are very loved. I look forward to being with you again next week on Father's Day. May all the fathers be here. Bye-bye for now. And God be with you.